Well, good morning. Good to see you. Good to have you here. Good to be with you this morning. This winter seems to be turning out to be a lot like last winter in that the bad weather always comes on the weekend. I don't know what it is, but during the week it's clear and sunny and fine, and Friday night, Saturday rolls around and the snow begins to come and the rain and the freezing rain and the sleet and all of that. And so glad that you're here. Glad that you've come out on this Sunday morning. I'm glad that you're here today because I have a word from the Lord for you today. Have you ever had anyone tell you that? I have a word for the Lord for you today. I've had people tell me that, and whenever I do, I'm always waiting for what they have to say. And my expectation is they're going to begin quoting to me some scripture and then begin to expound on its meaning and apply it to my life. I get a bit uncomfortable when someone comes along and says to me, I have a word from the Lord for you today, and they begin to share with me some revelation that they've personally received that has no biblical foundation. I've had that experience, and maybe you have had that experience as well. I get uncomfortable with that kind of word from the Lord, that kind of private, subjective, I've got a word from the Lord for you. I get uncomfortable with that because long ago, God spoke to his people through the prophets. But in these last days, he's spoken to us. Well, let's see it in the scripture. Let me put it up there on the screen. Long ago, many times in many ways, God spoke to our forefathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He, Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he, Jesus, upholds the universe by the word of his power. So in the past, God has spoken to his people through the prophets. But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. Having spoken to us by his Son, Jesus, I'm not looking for any further word. In Jesus, according to the scripture, in Jesus lies all the wisdom and knowledge of God. Jesus is an all-sufficient word. In him I have enough. I'm not looking for any further word. I'm not looking for anything extra. In all reality, I'd like to press more deeply into the knowledge of the word of God that he has given us in his Son and in the scripture, in his written word. I'm not lacking a word from the Lord. As the old song says, how firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled? So God has spoken clearly, and he's spoken in his last days through his Son, who is the exact representation of his being. The Apostle Peter, who was a prophet, who spoke to God's people God's word, he said this concerning the scripture. He said this, we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention to as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter is saying to the people whom he is writing to, he's saying to them, if you go and look at the context, he's saying, even though I was on the Mount of Transfiguration, I was there when Jesus was glorified, and Elijah was there, and Moses was there, and God spoke from heaven. I was there, but we have something more certain than my subjective experience on the mountain. We have a word from the Lord, and it's certain and it's sure, and we ought to pay attention to that. That's the word that you want to be hearing. That's the word that you want to be pressing into. So when someone comes along and says to me, I have a word from the Lord for you, I want to hear the scripture. I want to hear something certain. I'm not looking for extra biblical exhortations. I have enough in the scripture to inform my faith and direct my life. I don't need some subjective word. But at the same time, I don't want to despise prophecies. And I need to hear from the Lord, and I need a word from the Lord, so feel free to speak into my life the word of God. Just take me there in the text. You following me? Just quote to me some scripture and tell me what it means and lead me into how it applies to my life, because I don't want to despise prophecy. God has spoken, and he's spoken in his word, and this word is a sufficient word, and it's what I need, and it's what you need. So let me circle all the way back to where I started. I have a word from the Lord for you today. Open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. That ought to put you at ease. This isn't something that I sat at my desk and made up. This isn't something that I conjured on my own. No, I have a word, and it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This ought to put you at ease and give you some excitement. God has spoken, and we're going to look at what he has said, and we're going to read it, and we're going to think it through so that we can understand it and see it right here in the pages. We have been studying in this little book. This week and this morning and next Sunday morning, we'll conclude our study here. And we know where we're going next. We're going right into the next book, 2 Thessalonians, and we're going to be there for a little bit. And so for those of you who like to read ahead and think ahead and study ahead, that's where we're going. And in my Bible, and probably in your Bible, this right here is the entirety of the book. Two pages. And so I would encourage you to read that daily. That'll benefit you greatly as we study God's Word together. We need it. We need to hear from him. We need to heed his Word as well. But yeah, you found your place in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I want to begin in verse 11. We're going to read down to verse 24. And this is what it says in verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Now, how many of you in your Bibles open in your lap right now have a big paragraph break right there in the text? Oh, a bunch of you. How many of you even have a heading that says something like final instructions? Yeah, I do as well. And that's a real bummer. It's there in our Bibles as a reference point so that we can kind of break down the letter and kind of know where we're at. But Paul didn't write it that way. It wasn't there when Paul wrote it. He didn't say, now final instructions, here we go. So the question I have to ask you is, it says, therefore encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Does that refer to what he has said or to what he's going to say? And I say both. And I say that on purpose because he's already said it back in chapter 4, verse 18. If you look there, it says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. And we've studied through that part of the text, and that encouraging word is both backwards and forwards, and I think he's saying it again here in verse 11. This is the tenor of this text is an encouraging word from God. So let's look back at it. We'll pretend the break isn't there. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. So be patient with everyone and do good to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. All right, let's pause for a word of prayer, and then we'll press into our message this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is sure and certain. And we are grateful that it's given to us so that we might know you. For certainly you have revealed yourself in your Son and in the pages of Scripture. And we're grateful for the revelation. We wouldn't know you apart from your revelation. But you have taken the initiative and you have revealed yourself so that we might know you, believe your word, trust in your provision, turn from our sin, trust in Jesus Christ, and relate to you intimately as our Heavenly Father. What grace and kindness to us. And you have given us in your word everything we need for life and godliness, and your word is profitable for all things. Father, I pray that as we spend just a few moments this morning pressing into this word, thinking it through, that your Spirit who authored the text would be our teacher, that he would provide light and warmth and correction and understanding and give us strength to put it to practice. We ask for this kind of grace, knowing that you are able to do above what we ask, beyond what we imagine. And we're grateful for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in verse 19 and verse 20, that's where we find ourselves in this text. We've been studying through this, and in verse 19 it says, do not quench the Spirit, and in verse 20 it says, do not despise prophecies. Now we're going to take those in order, and that's the text for this morning. So do not quench the Spirit. That is an appropriate metaphor, because biblically speaking, the Spirit is frequently associated with fire, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. So Paul, at this point in his paragraph, is speaking to the church, and he's saying to the Thessalonian believers, don't put out the Spirit's fire. Don't quench the Spirit. In other words, add fuel, not water. Throw on some logs, not dirt. Church, keep the fire burning. If you leave the fire unattended, it will go out. It will run cold. Mac Powell is the lead singer of the singing group Third Day, and he sings a song by the title Soul on Fire. And in that song, he expresses his desire to God that he wants to be a soul on fire. He said, if you've listened to the song, there's not a lot of content to it. It's just a prayerful song where he is praying unto God, and he's saying, Lord, I'm running for your heart. I want to be a soul on fire. Well, what is he singing about? Oh, he wants the Spirit of God to be burning hot and bright in his life. Why would he want that? Oh, because every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has been given the gift of the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of them. If you don't have the Spirit, you don't belong to God, is what Romans chapter 8 says. But everyone who has come to faith in Jesus Christ, who's seen their sin and seen their Savior and have trusted in Jesus, they have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit provides light and warmth and heat to the Christian life. And the Holy Spirit produces fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Who doesn't want that? And the Holy Spirit prays for us with words that we can't express. And the Holy Spirit counsels and corrects and instructs and guides. Keeping in step with the Spirit is where fellowship with God is found. So every believer, just like Mac Powell who sings, I want to be a soul on fire, every believer wants to be on fire, to have the Holy Spirit burning hot in his life. It applies to us as individual believers. It applies to us certainly corporately as a church. We want to be a church on fire. We used to use those terms quite a bit, right, when it relates to our spiritual life. I want to be on fire for the Lord. Well, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5:19, which is our text, says, don't quench the Spirit. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. Ephesians chapter 4 speaks a similar word, but it says this, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. That's a similar word, but it uses a different metaphor, a different picture. Not fire, but intimate relationship. You don't grieve principles. And you don't grieve rules. And you don't grieve the law. You grieve people. You grieve persons. And the Holy Spirit isn't a principle. He's a person, third member of the Holy Trinity. And Paul is saying, don't put out the Spirit's fire. And in Ephesians 4, he says, don't grieve the Spirit. In other words, don't hurt God. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't make him sorry or sad or disappointed. Don't grieve the Spirit. When you read that verse, if you're thinking it through, you're like, don't hurt God? How is that possible? How can I, a puny human being, somehow hurt the eternal, infinite, omnipotent God? How can I hurt him? Well, you think that through and you read through your scripture and you'll come to understand that we can grieve God because God has chosen to enter into a relationship with us whereby grief is possible. And that's grace to us. We can bring God joy, and we can bring God pleasure, and we can grieve the Spirit. And we can grieve the Spirit because God has chosen to enter into a relationship with us whereby grief is actually possible, and Paul's saying, don't do it. So think that through. God entered into our grief in the person of Jesus Christ in his incarnation. Jesus became one of us. He took on flesh. And as the old song says, he bore our sins and our sorrows. He made them his very own. So Jesus knows what it is to enter into our grief and to associate with us in that way. And he came here because the Heavenly Father sent him out of love for us. And the Heavenly Father has experienced grief because the Son of his love, because the one in whom he has had an infinite relationship of harmony and fellowship and love and enjoyment, he saw that Son be put to death as Jesus substituted himself in our place on the cross for our sin. So God knows what it is to enter into grief. Jesus did it in his incarnation. God the Father has experienced the loss of a loved one, the loss of his dearly loved Son, as he died for our sin. That's an awesome reality. God endured immeasurable grief to give his inexhaustible love to people who don't deserve it. So that those people who by the Spirit see their sin and see their Savior most perfectly at the cross and then repent of their sin and trust in Jesus Christ, they are miraculously adopted into God's family. And God relates to them intimately as a father with his children. That's an intimate relationship. God has chosen to relate to us that way. And he's made the way possible through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thereby, as his children, knowing our Heavenly Father, we can bring him pleasure. Our purpose and our passion is to bring God pleasure by believing his word and doing his will and the power that he provides us for the praise of his glory. We can bring God pleasure. We can bring him joy. We can also grieve his heart. Because of the intimate relationship we have with him that we experience in the Spirit. So, we're reading this text. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit. We want to be a people who are on fire. We don't want to quench the Spirit. So how do you quench the Spirit? How do you not quench the Spirit? Well, I think our answer comes in the very next verse, verse 20. I think there's a reason why these are together. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. You don't want to quench the Spirit. You want to admire God's word and adorn it with your life. There's a connection between the Spirit of God and the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, don't quench the Spirit. Ephesians 4 says, don't grieve the Spirit. Galatians 5:25 tells us, if we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And if you go back and study that passage, Galatians chapter 5, you come to understand that keeping in step with the Spirit is done by believing God's Word and by faith putting it into practice. The Word of God and the Spirit of God always go together. The Spirit authored the text. And the Spirit uses the Word of God to bring God's people to life. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to convict them of sin and convince them of their need of the Savior and point them to Jesus Christ and convert them and make them part of God's family. And then the Spirit of God uses the Word of God and God's people to give them light and to provide them comfort and counsel and guidance and strength and hope and security and joy. So Paul says, don't quench the Spirit, don't despise God's Word. Don't despise prophecies. And we have a more certain prophecy, and it's right here in front of us. It's God's Word. So let's put ourselves in the Thessalonians' shoes. They've received this letter. It was in their lap, and it was before them, and they read it, and now it's in our hands. Let us put ourselves in the Thessalonians' shoes. The Apostle Paul is a prophet, and he's written them a letter. And this letter is God's Word to them. And he says, don't quench the Spirit. Don't despise this word. Keep the fire burning by upholding this word. What word? This one. How do we not quench the Spirit? How do we uphold the word? How do we see the fire burn? And he says right here, well, encourage and build one another up, just as you are doing. And respect and esteem highly and love your leaders. And be at peace among yourselves. Be patient with one another. God is beautifying his church. And so admonish the idle and encourage the disheartened and help the weak and be patient with everyone and be purposeful in doing good to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray always. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you. This is God's word. Uphold this. To quench the spirit would be to disregard prophecies. To please the spirit. To keep in step with the spirit. Would be to put this word into practice. The Thessalonians would add fuel to the Spirit's fire by hearing and believing and by faith practicing this very word, God's word. So let me go back again where I started. I have a word from the Lord for you this morning. And it's right here. It's not in some book on my bookshelf out on my wall, and it's not in my personal journal, and this isn't something I conjured up. It's right here. I do have a personal journal. Thanks, buddy. I have a word from the Lord for you today, and it's right here. You can find it right in these pages. Isn't that good news? Because you can go home and you can check it out. You don't have to say, what was the pastor saying? No, it's right here. That's why we preach the way we do. That's why we study the way we do. We go into these texts and we work our way right through them because this is God's word for us. I need to hear from God, and so do you. And as a preacher, I have a responsibility to say, here it is. Don't quench the spirit. We want the fire to burn. So we uphold the word. We don't despise it. We admire it. And we adorn it in our lives. I have children. I have four children. Three of them are married. As I've said, we've got grandkids coming like crazy. My kids love bonfires. Y'all like bonfires? We have a big bonfire ring in our backyard, and if there's a bonfire going and the kids' schedules permit, they're there. What's so attractive about bonfires? What do you do at a bonfire? You know what you do at a bonfire? You enjoy the flame and you talk with one another. People at a bonfire, they get comfortably close to the fire. They watch the flame. They enjoy the light. They embrace the heat and they talk with one another. That's what you do at a bonfire. And when the flame begins to run low, what do you do? When the flame begins to run low, people move closer to the fire until someone starts throwing logs on the fire and builds the fire back up, and then you remain comfortably close to the fire, you enjoy the heat and the light, and you talk with one another. Now, when the bonfire is over, it's 2 a.m., y'all should have been in bed hours ago. The bonfire is over and you want to put the fire out. You want to quench the fire. What do? You separate the wood. You separate the fire out. You push it apart and then you pour water on it. We got a big bucket by us and there's a stream that runs by our bonfire pit. And so we take the bucket and we fill it with water and we spread out the fire and we pour water on it. And then if we really want to make sure it's out, we throw dirt on top of that. Right? Paul is saying, and God is saying, church, you don't want to quench the fire. You don't want to quench the fire. You want the fire to burn. So gather together, add the fuel of fellowship and the fuel of God's word, and then by faith put it into practice. Pray for one another. Be at peace with one another. Be purposeful in doing good to one another. You want to see this fire burning. You want to enjoy the Spirit's light and heat and warmth. So admire the Word and adorn it. Now, we've gathered together this morning, even though the weather isn't all that great. We've gathered together. We've been encouraged by one another's presence. I'm so glad you're here. I hope you're glad I'm here. We've enjoyed one another. We've enjoyed one another's presence. We've received the fellowship and the preaching of the word. The fire has been burning. This is good. There are some who are not here. There's a variety of reasons why they might not be here. But there's some who are not here this morning. The roads are pretty slick when we came in early. Some people are sick and unable to come. There's a variety of reasons why people are not here. But there are some people who are not here because their spiritual lives are starting to grow cool. Have you ever experienced that? You ever go through a dry patch spiritually? And the flame is burning low? And you just don't feel like going to church? And you haven't cracked your Bible? Or is that just me? Are any of you with me? So some of you have experienced a spiritual low burn. I can't speak to them this morning. They're not here. I can speak to you. I can speak to me. There's some who are staying away. Their spiritual lives are growing cool. And they've started to move back from the flame and disassociate with the assembly of God's people and the preaching of God's word. And when you and I encounter them, and we will. When you and I encounter them, we have a grave responsibility. Because we can either blow a little oxygen and add a little fuel and work to see that fire come back burning, or we can throw on a little water and throw on a little dirt and see it flicker. And I don't know about you, but I've got enough dirt and water to throw. And I shared that last week, right? That's easy. We have a grave responsibility. When you're going through a spiritual dry season, when you're going through a spiritual low burn time, you want someone to come in and speak the word of God to you and encourage and build you up. You don't want someone to commiserate with your complaints because you got plenty of them. Now, here's what's amazing about this very passage. When you and I visit people whose enthusiasm has started to turn cold, it can be difficult to ascertain when and how and why the enthusiasm started to dampen. It's never on the surface. It's never on the surface. And we've learned from the fall, way back in the Garden of Eden, that no one, myself included, no one likes to take personal responsibility. It's always someone else's fault. And this passage in reverse is like how the adversary pours cold water on the lives of people's spiritual life. Because this is how it goes. I've been down this road so many times. You go and meet with someone who's grown spiritually cool, and their story, how does it go? I haven't been to church in a month. None of the leaders contacted me. I don't think they care. They're not very good. And I thought the progress at the church, the spiritual progress, would be going along much quicker than it is. I've become impatient with the spiritual progress that's happening at the church. In other words, there are people blocking the progress, and I become impatient with them. Unspoken, I've quit attending, which means I'm no longer purposefully doing people good. My joy is gone. I no longer have peace. This is the path where that cold water travels. And not the refreshing cold water, the muddy cold water that puts out fires. That's where it goes. It's amazing. I couldn't have made this up. The leaders are no good. I've become impatient with the church. I've stopped doing them good. My peace is gone. My joy is gone. And my fire is flickering. You and I will encounter them. They're not here this morning. You're here. I'm here. We're enjoying the fellowship. We're receiving the fuel of God's word. We're being built up. We're being encouraged. We're together. You and I will encounter those people in the course of our life who are spiritually going cool. And God says, don't quench the spirit. Don't do it. Don't put out the fire. And don't despise God's word. And God's word is right here. It's right here. It's not a mystery. When you think about the ministry of Jesus, Jesus won't break a bruised reed, and he won't snuff out a smoldering wick. In other words, when he finds a smoldering wick, he'll cup it and hold it, and he'll blow oxygen on that, and he'll see that thing go back into a flame. Praise God for the ministry of Jesus Christ. And praise God for the ministry of Jesus Christ that happens through his people to the lives of one another. The Spirit is blowing one way. We know we have an adversary that's always blowing the other. We're not unaware of his schemes. He pushes the fire apart. He douses it with water, and he throws on dirt because he wants to put out the flame. The Spirit is blowing the other way. The Spirit is saying, live by the Spirit. Keep in step by the Spirit. Adore God's word. Admire God's word. Put it into practice. Encourage and build one another up. Respect and love one another. Be patient with one another. God is doing his work. Bear with one another. Don't grow weary in doing good. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. It's right here. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you. This is God's word for you. For the last several weeks, if you've been paying attention in the news, a significant portion of the land of Australia, that's kind of hard to see, but that's a picture taken of Australia from high up in the sky, and that's a picture of the fires that are burning in Australia. Any of you been watching the news? Significant portions of Australia are on fire. Some have said it's upwards of 23 million acres have been destroyed. Homes have been destroyed. Lives have been lost. It is a massive disaster. And the firefighters are doing their best to put those fires out. In the church, the Spirit of God, in the church of God, the work is just the opposite. We want the fire to burn. And we want to run to the fire. And we want to be the type of people that don't quench the Spirit. And they don't despise prophecy, but they uphold the word and they administer the word and they see the fire burn. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom. But where the Spirit of the Lord is and where the Spirit of the Lord is working, lives are transformed and put together. And the peace of God is ruling in people's hearts and minds, and the fruit of the Spirit is being produced. And that's wonderful, and it nourishes people. And by the grace of God, we can be a part of that work. Not only has God chosen to establish us in a relationship with him whereby joy and grief are possible, he's also chosen us to be a co-laborers with him in his work, in the ministry that he's doing. And this encouraging word to us this morning is, don't quench the Spirit. Don't despise prophecies. No, keep in step with the Spirit by upholding the word and by faith putting it into practice, and see what God will do in you and through you in the lives of other people. I needed this message. I think we need this message. It's God's word for us. In the words of Mac Powell, God, I'm running for your heart. I want to be a soul on fire. I want to be a soul on fire. I don't want to be dampening the Spirit in my own life or in the lives of others. I want to be a soul on fire. You know, God is doing a fantastic work at Emmanuel Bible Church. It's been a privilege to be a part of it for over 2 decades. Very remarkable. God is doing a fantastic work at Emmanuel Bible Church, and I'm glad to be a part of it. You know where it's going to go next in the text? This is next week's sermon in advance. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. And the God of peace who's doing the work, he'll bring it to a completion. Praise God, it's not dependent on me. Last time I checked, I wasn't perfect. I heard that last night when we were playing games. God's doing a good work at Emmanuel. Glad to be a part of it. I want to see the Spirit burn and burn brightly, and to enjoy its light and to enjoy its heat, and to be illuminated by the fire. And I want to see that in my own life and the life of this church. And God's given us a roadmap how to do it. Fantastic. Praise God. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are remarkably good to us. Your kindness and benevolence and mercy and grace are immeasurable. You have taken people who were contrary to you, enemies of yours, and you've won us over by your love. Your Son came and took on our sin and our sorrow, and he made it his very own. Christ became sin for us at the cross. He died, separated from you. He rose again. Those who trust in him, you take on as your very own and relate to them in very intimate ways. We want to bring you pleasure. As your children, we want to experience that love and reciprocate that love. We want to bring you joy. We want to take you at your word. We want to believe it. We want to put it into practice. We want to grow in it. We want to keep in step with your Spirit. Cause us to have that kind of ministry to one another, to those who are spiritually on fire and to those who are spiritually growing cool. May we be a people who are patient and kind and thoughtful and prayerful and purposeful in doing good. May we be a people who find this very paragraph being worked out in our life as we literally work out our salvation in the strength that you supply us by your Spirit. What grace to us, what immeasurable kindness. We thank you that you're able to do beyond what we expect. We look forward in faith. In Jesus' name, amen.